Good morning. Thank you, Dr. Bryant, for the introduction. My name is Ralph Klotzbaugh. I'm an assistant professor at University of New Hampshire in Durham, New Hampshire. I looked at the same survey that everyone else has looked at, but I looked at campus sexual assault surveys as they relate to more inclusive research on sexual violence. Better. As far as a disclosure, I have no relationships to disclose. I'd like to present my my presentation first by talking about the myths of male rape. The literature that's out there on male rape, there's not a lot of it, but it's all pretty conclusive. And it's this idea that real men can't be raped, and these are based on traditional societal views, typical gender roles. That men should be able to defend themselves from sexual assault, and specifically rape. And another myth is that rape, for a variety of reasons, is not as severe for men as it is for a woman. And then particularly with gay men who are victims of rape are seen as less deserving of sympathy and support. There's this, you know, kind of homophobic kind of understanding of, you know, certain perversions, or that, you know, they're asking for it, or they essentially wanted it, is what the literature has stated about that. And then lastly, societal views on rape perpetrators differ based on whether the victim is male or female. So findings regarding male rape. Researchers identify that the extent of male sexual assault is underestimated due to lack of reporting. These estimates range from anywhere to 7 to 16% of men reporting sexual assault. The highest estimate of 16% was from another campus survey in the United States. Researchers report 6 to 15% of assaults involve females as perpetrators. And of those males who seek medical attention, only 23 to 35% report the sexual nature of the assault. Consequences of assault are both physical and psychiatric. Specifically to gay men, they can experience internalized homophobia, the same kind of, you know, the idea that, you know, something about their essential character, they deserved what they got. Heterosexual men may become confused about their sexuality and masculinity, and they kind of fall into that whole kind of rape myth themselves, that they should have been able to avoid this, they should have been tough enough to defend themselves, etc. So my research questions, the first one is, I wanted to know, is there a difference in the reported incidence of rape victimization among male and female students who participated in the three-campus survey? Next question is, what's the reported likelihood among males who identified themselves as victims of rape in utilizing campus services regarding the sexual assault? My third question is, what's the reported likelihood among males who identified themselves as victims of rape in participating in a campus sexual assault education program? And the final question is, what's the reported likelihood among males who identified themselves as victims of rape in reporting to anyone regarding the sexual assault? In that, those anyones were defined in the survey as a friend, a faculty advisor, a fellow student, a resident assistant, family, a professor, and or campus police. So they could indicate more than one source to report to. So findings from the first question, which is what's the reported incident of rape victimization among males who participated in the three-campus survey, they're very close. 5.2% of males participating in the survey identified themselves as victims of rape. That was 22 of 398. 5.9% of females participating in the survey identified themselves as victims of rape at a rate of 62 out of 994 that did the survey. So 5.2 and 5.9 males, females in that order. So the second question, what's the reported likelihood among males who identified themselves as victims of rape in utilizing campus services regarding the sexual assault? And Among those males who identified themselves as victims of rape, the majority were far less likely to indicate that they would access campus services regarding the sexual assault. And this is right in line with what the literature has stated for these findings, that in general, male rape just is not taken as seriously. And there's also been some literature done on professional services, particularly with counseling. And people just either aren't prepared for a variety of reasons, you know, subscribing to the myth, or there's just not the lack of reporting. They're just not used to how to deal with a male victim of rape. So findings for the third question, which was, what is the reported likelihood among males who identified themselves as victims of rape in participating in a campus sexual assault education program? There was no statistically significant difference found between those males who reported themselves as being raped versus those males who were not raped in their participation in campus sexual assault education programs. And one thing that kind of speaks to this with the literature review is these programs most likely don't speak to male victimization and sexual assault, and the scenarios are mostly reductive, wherein the perpetrator is male and the female, or the victim is always female. So the final question, what's the reported likelihood among males who identified themselves as victims of rape in reporting to anyone regarding the sexual assault? There were two things that were statistically significant. The first thing, they were least likely to report to family. They were most likely, if they were going to report to anyone at all, they were going to report to a professor. So there was no statistical significance found for the other anyones, which were friends, faculty advisors, fellow students, resident assistants, or campus police.
Who's the comparison group?
This is just among males, just looking at the males. The choices of who they would report to. So to discuss the findings, the incidence of rape among males and females who identified themselves as victims of rape in the three-campus study were similar. They were very close. There's less likelihood of utilizing existing campus services regarding the incident that was demonstrated among male victims of rape. There was a reluctance of service utilization among male victims of sexual assault or rape, reflective of existing research. And the incident was more likely to be reported to faculty among those males who identified themselves as victims of rape in the three-campus study. So I think what's important to me about this is for this survey, the need to include sexual orientation in surveys in the future. There's greater difficulty determining the details of sexual violence when sexual orientation is not included in the demographic data, particularly when collecting data from both perpetrators and victims. So it's very hard to say what's the nature of this assault. Is this a hate crime, or is this dating date rape? We don't know. And incidentally, approximately 10% of men who report anti-gay hate crimes, 10% of them report the sexual nature of the assault, and often involving rape. So how to obtain more inclusive data? Sexual assault questions shouldn't be homogenous. They really need to be gender-specific, and they need to be sexuality-specific. Gender-specific, I think, could even broaden the gender identity to include transgender, and sexuality-specific to include their sexual orientation in the demographics, so we can kind of see what's going on, and you know what the intervention is going to be different based on whether it's a hate crime versus date rape, and et cetera. And there's a lack of specificity in the survey question, results in data that can't be deciphered, missing data, and a lack of data on vulnerable populations. And how to apply more inclusive data? We need to incorporate more inclusive data to inform preventative education and counseling services. and specifically the use of gender-neutral discussions of sexual assault with victims and perpetrators in the related literature. And also, what are the images within that related literature? Are they representative of what's actually happening? And specific campus-wide awareness campaigns to address just male rape myths. And then lastly, because the N was so small, it's kind of hard to determine that they felt more comfortable going to a faculty member. However, if we're to look at that and place importance on that, disseminate the available student programming and services to include faculty and staff so that we're on board and we know what's available to students and where to put them for effective referral and provision of services. Thank you.